Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
So much, so much, yeah, so much. So tell me, can you feel it? So much, so much.
Blackness, oneness, so rare.
So much love to care.
Let them know they're missing out, Mama Africa.
So much love to share.
Sweet blackness, oneness, be there.
So much love to care.
Let them know they're missing out. Sing
hello. Hello and a pleasant good day. I don't hear myself on the mic, but Stevie checked it, right? This is C.A. Nuri, and this is Guardian Radio AM, and we have another provocative show on this Friday, May 17th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning, and we are here again. Today, we have a guest from the Clifton Heritage, right? But they are celebrating, they are commemorating, they have joined forces with the Rastafarian community. But what they joined the forces with the Rastafarian community is that they plan to have a celebration of African liberation. Now, I know Africa is free. I know Africa is liberated. So it should be interesting to hear what is the need for this commemoration, what is the need for this celebration, and what it has to do with us Africans in the diaspora in the Bahamas. But it's going to be a big celebration. This big celebration is going to be, let me see if I can look up this flyer, May 23rd. And all of the African descendants, all the Africans in the diaspora apparently are being summoned to go to Clifton Heritage and to join in on these festivities. So before I have my learned guest start, I would need to introduce the, do they call you curator or what do they call you now?
With my official title, you know, assistant manager in charge of research, historical exhibitions, and tours.
So you have a real job.
That's what you do. Real.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I want to know if you're just doing tours of Clifton and assistant manager and doing and organizing the tours. How did you get the Rastafarians to partner with you?
Well, I think it's a given, man. You know, Clifton Heritage National Park is our only park of that nature and one of the only ones in the Caribbean. You know, I've always been a big fan of Rastafarian politics, let's just put it that way, you know, and I always work with all members of the conscious community in any way when I can. And one of the reasons I was brought in at Clifton was to, for lack of use of a better term, Africanize the place a little bit, you know.
Africanize the place.
Yeah, in the most positive way, of course.
Understand.
Yeah, and of course, even before it was seen as cool, even before it was seen as a thing or even had the legitimacy that it has today, you know, the House of Rastafari and the community in the Bahamas and everywhere they are have always been in line with the principles of Garveyism, of which many of us adhere to at least, if not wholly, in part. Yeah.
So tell me about this African Liberation Day. Is that a real thing or is something that, watch me beat the Rastafarians here, that the Rastafarians are made up?
Well, I know Priest Rittman, would probably, I don't know if you want to answer
pull that. The mic closer to you to make sure that I'll be able to hear you. And the Priest is no stranger to Guardian Radio. He's been here before and it was always good to see him here. But what is this African Liberation Day? Is this the first time it's being held in the Bahamas?
Well, good morning, Bahamas. To answer your question, no. The Rastafari community was always celebrate this day, May 25th. Although we're having it on May 23rd, which is Thursday coming, but they actually date 1963, when the forefathers, the leaders in Africa, 32 leaders come together and form the Africa Liberation Day. First, they call it Africa Day. So all African states on the 25th of this month will be celebrating and acknowledging this day as Africa Liberation Day. I mean, from a political point of view, because Africa's still fighting for economic liberation and spiritual liberation from the colonial powers. So we see it important, very important for us, even in the Bahamas, to acknowledge this day, because wherever Africans are in the diaspora, they're descending from Africa.
So you're saying this is not a celebration just that the Bahamian Rastafarian community is doing, but the whole world or diaspora, Africans in general, tend to celebrate this day?
All conscious black people. And it so happened that us in the Bahamas don't celebrate it from a government point of view, or even in the schools. I don't think it's being taught in the schools that the importance of Africa Liberation Day. So we as Rastafarian always try our best to bring that consciousness to our people, and that's why we decide to move closer with Christian heritage, because that's a historical site. And even in the 1993, when the Hubert administration, Hubert Alexander,
Ingram,
yes. He was trying to sell it to some investors, and along with Mr. Goldsmith and the Rastafarian community and other organizations, we lobbied and agitated against the government from selling it. So it dared to our heart, because we know that's the first spot where our ancestors came on this rock from the 17th century triangle slave trade. So it's good for all our kids to know of this historical site. So that's why we're collaborating with Mr. Davis, and we decided to keep it over there, because we keep it on Christie Park 2 years ago. You remember?
Yeah.
So we keep having it in the camp also. But this, we decide, when I talked to Chris, they said, man, priest, the park also available to y'all too, to have certain events. So I said, man, our Africa Liberation Day coming up next month, let's do something. So we see and we went down there and talked to the administrative body down there. They decided the first to do the show down there.
Priest, I've noticed that Rastafari is changing. When I was younger, I heard the phrase, you chant down Babylon, Rasta separate themselves. But of late, y'all are asking Bahamians to come and join you in all kind of events. This is like the third huge event where all Bahamians are coming and joining you.
Actually, Africa Day is not no Rasta Day, you know. Right. It's black people, it's your day. Because once we have to know ourselves from whence we came. We have to know our roots and our history. So it's all about bringing awareness to our people. That's what Rasta was all about, bringing awareness spiritually, economically. Even when it comes to our holistic, when it comes to our food, Rasta was always trying to be nuts in the front line, but we was always talking about liberation, liberate ourselves from the colonial powers.
So
that's happening all over the world when it comes to Rastafari, right? Because that's our mission, to free and redeem Africa.
I need someone to tell me what happens on African Liberation Day. What, when I go there to Clifton Heritage, what can I expect to see?
Well, we try and have some guest speakers to speak on the event. We have some drummers. We invite some of the schools to be there also. That's a day for us to commemorate the importance of the liberation of our people politically. That's when African ancestors, because all those who signed the treaty, all of them are really they're in the ancestors' rooms now. So we still give thanks for their effort to come to bring Africa to one. Because right now, Africa's still fighting for true liberation. Africa have 55 states, or 55 countries. Mm-hmm. And they're fighting now for Africa to come with one currency, one army, one national atom, one big republic of Africa. That's where Africa could speak with one voice, become one block. And that's what the young leaders in Africa are fighting for now, for true liberated Africa.
So let me go back to Christopher Davis, the assistant manager for tours at Clifton Heritage. So the Rasta community came to you or spoke to you in passing that they have a grand event that they do every year or every other year, right? How did you make this, make the Clifton site access? Can other Bahamians come and get access to the Clifton site, rent it to do things things like that? Tell me more about that process.
Oh, most definitely. Shout out to Miss Carla Rutherford. If I know you was going to ask this question, I'd make sure she came too, you know. But we have many offerings. Actually, we even do like a free walkabout. So we'd even encourage people to reach out to Clifton and say what you want to do, what type of event you want to do. We have weddings all the time. We have parties. We have beach spaces that can be rented, historical sites that can be rented, several other things, you know. And I think we had maybe... for the year, I think we had probably around 10 weddings already for the year.
You have weddings out there too?
Yeah, man. Both locals and tourists, you know. And Clifton Heritage Park, there's a lot to see and a lot to offer. And one of the things that I say, and a lot of people say, particularly locals, when they come out there, they say, man, I feel like I'm on the island. Well, New Providence is an island, but you know what I mean. They feel like I'm on a family island. And whatever, and it's so funny because whatever island the person connected to, they say that's where it feels like. So it's in Agua, you know, if you're from Kid Island, it's Kid Island, you know? Yeah.
Have any African states, African countries reach out to the organizers and say, hey, I come in too. I'm going to bring my African flag. I'm going to bring my African food. Y'all have any food out there?
Yes, we will.
Yes, blessed day, Bahamas. Priest Diamond, yeah. There will be lots of food. We would say from the idol perspective, Rastafari perspective, there would be cultural arts and crafts presented, you know. So that wouldn't be a problem. We just ask them for ones to come out and celebrate with us. It is African Liberation Day, and you know, Marcus Garvey, the Honorable Marcus Garvey, said that a race without knowledge of its past is like a tree without roots. So we want to help our people to just continue to remember who they are. And that's a great importance within our country. And I feel what we lack very much, hence the type of situations we see in our country in regards to crime, our people not knowing who themselves are, who they are.
In true Bahamian fashion, I have a question and a comment. Has your organization petitioned the government to seek membership in the African Union, or to petition CARICOM as a bloc to seek membership in the AU? That's my question. And my comment is, how many boxes of mango you need the public to drop off for African Liberation Day? How many boxes of local fruits and things y'all need the Bahamian public to drop off the Clifton Heritage for Liberation Day?
As much they can afford.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Because it's mango season.
Yes.
And it's pineapple season. Right. And tamarind's still on the tree. Yes. And papayas grow year-round. Dilly's still on the tree.
Dilly.
Yes. And soursop on the tree.
Right.
Yes. My African brethren.
Oh, yeah.
And
so,
it's an all-day event. So we as much fruit, native fruits and vegetables that could be granted out to us. Totally welcome.
Yeah, the details. What's the start time? When do I need to be there? Do you have scheduled activities for the day so I could say, hey, I'm going to spend the first 2 hours participating, take a break, have lunch on the water's edge, and then I can come back for a couple of later sessions in the day?
Well, it's going to start off with a brief tour. Something that we did when we celebrated World Heritage Day as well. And for those that didn't get to see the origin of Junkanoo temporary exhibit that we have up, it'll be a good opportunity to see that. That's going to be tied in a little bit, of course. And then you know that every year, the Rastafari, they have a march. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to be marching from the African village to the site where the program would then begin. And then it'll be the things that... The two priests alluded to earlier, a few speakers, probably one or two performances, all within the spirit of Pan-Africanism, Garveyism.
All right. So this year, I'm hoping for this year, but next year, are you going to have an exhibition walking us through the evolution of music from yele to reggae?
Well, listen, we can, you mean at Clifton?
At Clifton for African Liberation Day.
Well, we may not have an exhibit specific to that topic, but I can assure you by this time next year, Clifton will look very different. And much of that difference you will see is just huge different spaces. My tongue itching right now because it's something I know you in particular would really appreciate. I can tell you about it off air.
It's a surprise.
Yeah.
So listen, you know, what Chris Davis is saying is, it's a surprise. There's some things they're not telling you. You have to be there to experience it.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Will there be, will the Rastafarian groups, will there be clothing for sale, accessories? Will you have things from your community, produced by your community, or produced by your regional network available for sale?
Yes.
Partially partially local and partially regional.
Okay.
Some of those items would be on display, yes.
Good stuff. So I could come down there. I've been eyeing a pair of African print cargo pants. Because as a woman, I need pockets. I need plenty Georgie bundles to carry things.
True.
I look forward to seeing that out there.
And I know that the House of Rastafari is made up of different houses, right?
Yes.
Will all the houses be represented? Because I know some of the last events, you all had a huge crowd, like every Rasta in the Bahamas came out. They flew down from Grand Bahama, Abaco, and say, I hear in the in Nassau, so we attend this event. Can we expect to be a large contingent of Rastafarians again?
Yes, very much so. We, all our brothers and sisters within the Rastafari community is expected to partake in it. So whoever's free at that time and could get away from the various islands to travel to Nassau, they would come to participate with them.
What about the Rasta who sell the carrot juice? You got to make sure he there because I need some carrot juice.
But of course, we have the day, of course.
Most natural.
This is not a Rasta event, you know.
No, okay. It's a Pan-African. It's a Pan-African, Pan-African event.
So we're asking the public at large to come out to participate and be a part of this educational event also.
Certainly.
So they have to know the importance of liberation. What really liberation meant.
All right. So will we some of the exhibitions or talks, right? Will we learn about Marcus Garvey's contribution or impact on the Caribbean, Dr. Robert Love, Bahamian and Jamaican?
That's a part of the little surprise right there.
Okay,
just
didn't
a
say
small
that.
One, though. It's just a small one.
In the real formation of the African liberation event, which started in the motherland.
Okay.
Yes, you know.
Absolutely. I mean, it's wonderful to have the connection made through the Rastafarian community, right? Sometimes the connection is made from an academic space. Say, big up Dr. Nyambi, Paul Campbell Dean.
Of course.
Right?
Yes, of course.
But it's great.
Madam Chairman.
Right.
Or chairperson.
For the reparations.
For the reparations committee.
Yes, of course. Absolutely. Of course. That's another person all Bahamians need to get behind.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
And this is the reason for why we're expecting from our invites over 200 Bahamian students from here within in New Providence. And luckily, about 120 from Philadelphia in the United States should be present as well.
Here's a question. Will you have on display various Bibles that not just the Rastafarian community, but other African sects and communities use? Like we had IUIC, Israel United in Christ, on this week, and their text, they use only the 1611 King James Version with the apocryphal, right?
Right.
I know there is the Nagast, but will there be a collection of maybe scripture, books from various African...
We have a few Bahamian history books already on sale at the gift shop at Clifton. So that includes my book, of course, Black Rinse, A New Perspective on the History of the African Diaspora in the Bahamas, as well as Tellus Bethel's book that speaks about the great King Coronado, the first man to put it on Christopher Columbus, you know, so
the origin of Pawkin.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. You know.
Yeah.
And so we have some of those things, but I'm sure the Rastafari community would probably have some of their literature
available
out there,
as well.
Available as well. Yeah.
The only way I would say some may not be available because we have an elder Rastafari member of ours, Honorable James Rule, who actually has a store and he sells African attire, African books, and other cultural books, conscious books that one can purchase. And if only if they are done sold out and none available, you won't be able to see them at the time there, but they would be on order to be coming in. But he has a wide selection of knowledgeable books that...
Tell him bring the catalog as well. Tell him the catalog that he orders from, tell him bring that as well.
Truly.
Yeah.
We have a caller here, producer. Let's patch the caller through to engage us. And then I want to know who all you all invite. You say you invite some schools. Well, let's go in some details of who we expect to be there. But right after this caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear us?
Quality days was a stock in a voice along with you and Aaron Neary.
Blessings. Right. Blessings.
Okay. I have a question or two for Mr. Smith. Mr. Smith.
There's no Mr. Smith in the room. We have
Davis.
Mr. Davis,
me.
There you go.
All right,
Davis. Forgive me, please.
Well, McGrammy, McGrammy
Davis was
a Smith.
Brave
I thought
darling,
we were in the Matrix.
Sorry.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Go on.
Let me ask you something. One or two questions. Mm-hmm. Now, when King Charles VIII was reigning, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was the world, especially the Bahamas, were all about was like at that time? My
Charles
second VIII. Question is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have an alliance with black countries or black people around the world in order to establish the situation, right? The unity of all black people.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I can start with the first one, with the last one first.
Thank you, Brayman.
Certainly. You know, that's pretty much what I dedicate my life to. And I have a special connection, of course, with the Ahanta people of Southwest Ghana, but Ghanaian and the nation of Ghana on the whole. This may even kind of touch into what Sister Erin was saying earlier about CARICOM and the AU becoming one. You know, that's a dream that I have, to be honest, also on a personal level. And I think that it's a slow process. I think that some of the more progressive leaders or the leaders that are leading towards African unity, I should say, they are now learning how to navigate the space that they are, in fact, in. And as Priest Rittman said, you know, you have people like Ibrahim Traore, for one, name escapes me, with the guy in Senegal now. And even in Ghana, there's this new young voice that's coming up in the upcoming election. So we certainly have
Julius Malema.
Yeah, all of these are the old
older,
I call them the OGs of Pan-Africanism, of African politics. And we have a lot of links. And of course, the House of Rastafari and their leaders in itself are essentially like ambassadors to Ethiopia within the various countries that they are in. Mm-hmm. And so that is certainly happening, yeah.
Well, the CARICOM is the sixth region, part of the AU, which is African Union.
Right.
So we just need to tie in more.
And formalize.
So we ask our government to be more involved.
All right, because I can see the government is making political connections and building political relationships with individual countries. And there's an economic relationship as well with the establishment of a trade space with Ghana and the appointment of Andrew Wilson, His Excellency. Blessing.
Thanks for that, because for the last almost 20 years, we was agitating to the previous government and this government and beyond for an embassy to be established. So we have things that we have an embassy in at least in West Ghana. Because when I went to Africa, I went to Ethiopia and I got an Ethiopian visa. Then I leave from Ethiopia and went to Nigeria. I got a Nigerian visa. I had to change currency.
Mm-hmm.
When I go on to Togo, the same thing. When I go on to Benin, the same thing. When I go on to Ghana, it's the same thing. So I see now that African countries now are removing visas.
Mm-hmm.
So even Africans could travel freely amongst the African states. So they could do more better trading and more better commune amongst themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's a part of liberation.
I'm jealous. I will say something to you. When I was in Zambia, I saw you in Zambia and I hail you and you ain't saying nothing. I'm mad. When I went to Zambia, everybody looked like somebody I know.
Right. Thank you.
I'm so mad at you.
That's what I saw when I was in
my people like that's Igbo, what I saw. From Nigeria. I know what I look like from Zambia.
That's why I was trying to figure out why you was in Zambia.
I can tell you a story.
True. We had to get the visa.
I can tell you a story. When I was in Nigeria, my father died. I see this man. I see exactly my father. I followed this man, at least about 500 feet. The only reason I saw him wasn't my daddy, because I know my daddy got in the coffin. But I saw everybody I know, I saw somebody look like them, between especially West Africa.
And not just the continent. The first time I was in London, I went to Stoke Newington. Okay. Everybody was
so
my cousin.
So we are one people, basically.
But let's hear more about the event again. Okay. It's going to be a Thursday, a school day.
Yes. Yeah. And okay. We are, like, again, we say we are expecting over 200 native students. It is exam time, so it's kind of challenging. Then there's a new rule in place where the principal don't give the last approval for students to be admitted to go to sites off campus. So they'll have to get we're just waiting on certain approvals from the Ministry of Education, who has the final say within it regards. And our Honorable Minister is out of town at this time in London, so the director also, so from the assistant director and persons with a dialoguing with them while they're away to send forward the confirmation.
Is there a cover charge to come inside this event?
This liberation, everything is free, even right down to the food.
Food free.
The knowledge, the food is free. The arts and crafts and other items, what persons, what vendors would have out there, the books and so forth, they won't be free.
Right. But food free.
Food free. Mm-hmm. The knowledge is free. The toy is free. Yes.
And the food free.
Yes.
What about the carrot juice?
Free. We got, especially for you, if you can make sure.
So you're going to have peanut punch, beet juice, carrot juice.
Yes.
Oh, this is going to be great. I just want to make the note. I sent out a cabinet memo. I know the minister's fair and honest, but she a little biased. I think they're gonna approve it.
Yeah.
the minister is a part of the community, the Pan-African community.
Certainly,
politics reflects her commitment to the unification of Africa and consciousness as well.
And again, the U.S. students coming in as well on a cultural tour to get some knowledge about the Bahamas in regards to the same topic. Mm-hmm. So they would be expected to be there as well.
How many?
At least, but a minimum, about 120.
Wow.
You're expecting
120 students. I mean, listen, this is
from
awesome. Because now it's not just African Heritage Day, but they then get to see the Bahamas' role and place in the liberation movement. Like Chogum, was that 84? Chogum 84, mm-hmm. when Lyndon said, hey, what y'all doing in South Africa? I said, even the Bahamas and apartheid, what y'all doing in South Africa can't stand. Right? We have some modern stories and moments. But let's go to the caller. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, I want to know what King Charles VIII was a black man. What I want to find out, what he had done for black people while he was in the seat there. He was in power.
So, well, he wasn't black.
Yeah, he wasn't black. Let's just.
No, he wasn't black. Like black.
Can't hear you.
He wasn't. No, he wasn't of African descent at all.
No, he was not. There's a lot of confusion now about these royals, who are quote unquote black. There are many royals. We could talk about the Dons of Portugal.
Turn your radio down, Brayman. Turn your radio down.
We could talk about. Yeah, we can talk about the De' Medici family from right there in Florence, Italy. These are people who are proven African descent, right? But and some of them who are in Western Europe also have links to these other families. So some of them, yes, do in fact have drops of black blood. But when you say black, you have to understand that is a social construct.
Mm-hmm.
And if you would have gone to Charles, even if he had some black blood in him, which he didn't, you know, and for me, this might sound harsh, but hey, it's Haitian flag day being celebrated, and we're talking about African liberation. So truth be told, I believe that it's just a cop-out way for us to conform to some of the things that we should not be conforming to under the spirit of Pan-Africanism, particularly these Eurocentric religions that were forced on our ancestors. They didn't willingly adopt these things, you know, that were forced on our ancestors in a Eurocentric way. You understand? And promoting white supremacy. And now these same people, so if this is Charles VIII that reigned in the late 1490s, what was happening during that time was the Lucayan genocide. Mm-hmm. That's what we should be focusing on. And though he was French, all of them supported these exploration. Of course, the French came much later than the Spanish and the Portuguese, but they are all guilty of the worst crimes against humanity and human history. And that man, Charles, was a part of that. I even have people talking about King James was a black man, all type of foolishness. Mm-hmm. I have no time for that. I mean, it's not true.
Charles is my cousin, but we don't claim him. Right. So what day... What day is African Liberation Day celebrated on?
The 25th. Yeah.
The 25th of May.
Yeah. Okay, yes. The 25th of May, and yeah. Your event is?
The 23rd, which is 23rd. Thursday.
But after that, we'll still be having celebrations straight to the 25th.
Yeah, Mr. Yeah. David.
Within the Bobo Shanti camp, within yes. the Rastafari communities.
Absolutely. Yeah. One more comment, Bremen?
Yeah, let me ask him something. Knowing that he...
Bremen, I need you to turn down your radio.
Okay, pardon me. You have an alliance with those countries, a lot of black people. Tell me something. Why us in the Bahamas, which are only 400,000 plus people, why are we as black people killing up each other?
Oh, well,
What you yeah. notice when it comes to other black country with situation as such? Yeah.
Well, in my humble opinion, and I think that everyone in this room would agree, you know, we are victims of our circumstance. We have often lost sight of the level of trauma that our ancestors, in fact, endured. You know, I have deep conversations. Shout out, I know she could appreciate it, but I shout out anyway. Shout out to Ms. Duncombe, education officer. We have some really deep conversations, and we spoke about that today, that that even like when you look at certain parents of African descent who we define as quote unquote bad parents because they don't tell their kids they love them. It's like this thing. This is something that was instilled in us from the days of slavery, because there's a chance you could be separated from your child. So you won't want to get that emotional, and that stays with us. So
you were told you don't own this being is not yours.
Right.
Yeah.
You understand? And so we have lost sight of the level of trauma. We have also lost sight that we have been the African diaspora in perpetual survival mode for at least the last 500 years, if you include all of the other different groups that have pillaged and done horrible things to Africa, if you're talking about the spread of Islam, all of these different things, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
People don't understand the level of trauma that we've been into. Now, that's number one. Now, number two, I like to make a parallel with the Gangs of New York movie, where you have the five boroughs of New York,
mm-hmm.
all of which were European-centered. All of them formed their own gangs. You have all these different Italian mafias that kill each other, but we romanticize it, and we never call it white-on-white crime.
We don't acknowledge that black-on-black crime, that phrase is a racist gimmick.
Exactly. You understand what I'm saying? And it's because of the environment that these people are placed in that is also bred with a culture of violence, a culture of violence that was forced on us. We now know that trauma is inherited. You know, so to speak in plain Gullah Geechee terms, you know, you have this fellow seem like he is bad from he young. He have this, like he chip or something like that. You don't know what happened to his ancestors and how that trauma just manifesting in this little boy right now. We just conclude that, that's just a bad child. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or the child of demons and all of these different things,
I think what we need to reestablish as a rite of passage in the Bahamas is that every young person need to go to Andres or another family island where there are crabs, and they got to catch crab. They got to learn how to catch crab. But I tell you why. Because we have socialized our children and our adults on the idea, on this crab-in-the-barrel story, right? Where we tell our children, see, the black crab is the bad crab because the black crab has pulled down all the other crabs. The pen, the barrel, is not the crab's natural habitat.
Exactly.
And so if young people could have the experience of having to chase a crab in its natural habitat,
they can see that they cooperate.
If you go up for that,
Mr. Davis talked about that, but 2 years ago.
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah, yeah. You look at crabs in the basket.
I'm from Andros.
Yes, sir.
And I had a chance to experience that. That's when you met. The crab is pulling on one another. I was on my carport. Some guys bring me about 4 dozen crab. I had a cut barrel. So I put the crab in the barrel, and I went inside my house. Because I said the crab can't come because the barrel is too high, because it's a plastic barrel. And when I come back outside, I see when the crab come out. So I just start up. I see the next one crawl up. So I went to the barrel and looked in the barrel, and I see all the crab pile up on one side of the barrel, and the set to the bottom, they ain't trying to move. The set to them in the middle, they ain't trying to move. The set on the side crawling up on top of them and coming over. So it's not, I never see no one pulling down one another. So what I did again, I shake the barrel and put all them even again. And I wait for the next half hour, and the exact same thing happened. So the crowd, they build stairs on one another to climb out.
Absolutely.
So to say the crowd pulling down one another, that's a myth.
Absolutely.
Also, if a crowd in a pen and one final wheel, all can follow and come out.
It's an important analogy, but we have been interpreting it incorrectly to our detriment.
And while those crabs are in the pen, they are in what? Survival mode.
Exactly.
Even in survival mood, we try to find a way.
Right.
If all, because all can't come out, but a few
will make it out.
And the set what can't come out, they still. Then they pull down one another. Yeah. They still let the next one climb on top.
They made themselves the sacrifice for the benefit
as a
of
bridge,
the
other. As a bridge or as a ladder.
Something else I'd like to add, if I may.
You come in right now, caller. Just hold the line.
When we look at what they misnomed slavery, it was actually it is actually the African Holocaust. They want us to use that economic term slavery, and it's widely used. It was an African Holocaust, and the victims were persons that were raped, pillaged, plundered, and stolen from their land and brought here. So when they were brought here, as a sovereign people. And that sovereignty is still intact with us today. Mm-hmm. There was never no agreement for us to give up that sovereignty. So this is where we have to stand on, and this is a part of our part and parcel of African liberation, not even war.
Good morning, caller.
Morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Dury. And good morning to Honorable Mr. Davis and to the brethren. I want to say give thanks for life, blessed love, and hail
blessed
the emperor.
Blessed love, rebel.
I just want to give... my best wishes on the event that they plan on having. They say it's the 23rd.
Yes, 23rd.
Yes,
start time.
I hope it's a success. You know, I hope it goes better than planned, better than anticipated.
We sure we see you there, Bill.
And to Brother Davis, I want to say, my brother, enough respect to you, man.
I really
appreciate the work that you're doing in trying to spread that knowledge, trying to impart that knowledge among the people here. You know, I love your outlook, my brother, because you share a common outlook as me.
Yeah.
Whereas I rap African over Bahamian. I only say I'm an African who was born in the Bahamas. You know, my ethnic identity might be that because through, you know, the politics of things and you know how you have to identify yourself.
Yeah.
But otherwise than that, you know, I really appreciate your viewpoint, and I feel as if, a sign that your ways and ways like individuals like ourselves have succeeded is when the majority of people here begin to appreciate their African heritage over their ethnic identity or their location.
Certainly.
You know, because I feel as if that this false Bahamian pride that we have based on our easy lifestyle that we have had has really been a negative thing to us. You know what I mean? It places us in a real high-minded position.
Right.
You know, so like I say, my brother, I really appreciate your work, my brother. I know,
awesome.
Much respect to you, Brother Davis, and to the brethren again. Give thanks for love. Give thanks for life, brethren. Blessed love. Hail the emperor. Never give up the fight, and all the best on this event. And the struggle continues, brethren. And to Mr. Green, I hope you have a nice day. Yeah, later, CA. Okay.
Honorable, thank blessed you, love.
Let's go to another call of blessings again. Next call there. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Press that button. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Good morning.
And good morning to your guests. Good morning, Mr. Priest Richmond McKinney, Luxor Andrews. Blessed uprising, sir.
Blessed uprising.
Yes, thank you.
Priest was saying about the crabs, right? I'm thinking about something that Uncle said in reference to us being, I guess, mentally driven to do some of the things that we do. You don't think 400 years plus removed from slavery abolishment, you two think that it's about time that we ourselves reset our minds? Because I'm also an Andalusian. I grew up with an old lady who was born in 1909, and she taught us nothing but love and respect for others, ourselves, and things. So you don't think some of this is just the way, I mean, humans are, because white people do the same thing we do, but we just don't see it, I guess, publicized the way it happens with people of color. What do you think?
Thank you. If I may, so there's a little misconception at times, particularly in regards to the history of the African diaspora, that when chattel slavery ended, Europe moved into like this great acceptance of Africans. So let's just use the British for an example. So after they ended chattel slavery in 1838, they moved directly into the period of scientific racism and social Darwinism, in which they killed upwards of 20 to 30 times more Africans than they killed in the transatlantic slave trade. So we're talking about massive genocides in places that were called Rhodesia at the time. We're talking about present-day Zimbabwe, Zambia, South Africa. So, Congo with the Belgians. We could go on and on. We don't even have to get into those things, because those things are so heavy, they ruin your day when you even get into those things, you know. And again, we have to really be aware of exactly what's happening, what continues to happen. And out of this period led up to the scramble of Africa, where no country that's populated by Africans, whether in the Western Hemisphere or in Africa, with the exception maybe of Ethiopia, of course, were colonized and drawn from the lines of Europeans in two conferences, essentially, you know what I mean, in regards to Africa. And then this is what laid the foundation. This is something that Bahamians always make issue of, which is, we don't control our natural resources, or inflation is killing us. This is the case with every single African nation. So the foot has not been taken off of our neck. You know, it's still there, and some would argue that it's still just as heavy, just that their modus of operandi has changed and their propaganda has been very successful. And when you compare groups in the African diaspora to those that did not go through the same thing, it's like we have a 100-pound bag on our back. The Asians have a 20-pound bag, this one have a 10-pound bag, and you expect us to do and perform in the race the same exact way as all these other ethnicities. It just won't happen, and this continues to this day.
Let me see if I can squeeze these last callers in, then we'll do a summary, because we're running out of time, of when and where the event is going to be. Go ahead, caller, you have about 30 seconds.
Thank you, Neri, and morning, Chris.
Morning.
I appreciate you spunking, yeah. I just want to correct something when your caller say. And it's insulting to me. Not all black people killing up one another.
Right, exactly.
That's a nature thing. That's white and black. That's nature.
Right.
And if you don't have the heart of love, black love, white love, everybody has to have the heart of love.
Right.
I'm not the dude. Blaming black. I'm very insulted by that, though. Chris, keep up the good work.
Thank you.
You get together. So, Aaron, send me his number, please. I need to buy his book. Probably drop it to me anyway, Jeff. And Neri, thank you.
Yeah, man.
For having the show.
Good. Right. Let me see you again. Next caller there. Pat, producer, let's run through all of them. Go ahead, caller. You have 30 seconds.
Yeah, Mr. Neri, good afternoon. Bob Whitman. And Chris.
Yes.
Hey, Whitman.
Yes.
You'll be surprised to notice this, man, but they would be ashamed of our past if he was to talk about it. But you would be surprised to notice this. But as it relates to poverty, right, Chris?
Yeah.
In the Caribbean sub-region, right?
Right.
Do you think we should link poverty with being, the caller who called, he tried to seem that all Bahamians have it good and we live in this luxurious type lifestyle.
Yeah, that's not
and
that's
in
not
Africa, the same amenity, I mean, in America, the same amenity exists. But we see how the black people in America fuse together when time is needed, right?
Right.
And by the way, I'm a pan-Africanist. I have a picture of Marcus Garvey with a statement that he made that is actually coming true today. But I wanted to ask this, and maybe on the next show, you have read the book written by Sir Walter Rodney from Guyana?
Oh, yeah, How Europe Underdeveloped Africa.
Do you think that our politicians, post-slavery, are the reason for our ignorance about our own history? And have they done anything in your mind to actually catalyze or speed up the process of cohesion amongst the diaspora, given the fact that we have schisms amongst ourselves that I really don't like? Because if a cow is born in a hog pen, that doesn't make him a hog.
Right.
So that's the same way I agree with this history. But what I'm saying is it's us who really is at fault. Because then you're preaching to me, you're talking down to the human people as if we are more spiritually superior than the next.
Okay, 52, let me get to the next caller.
Foolishness about a voodoo and African traditions that I know that you're correct. Because I know about fetus priests, et cetera. I do a lot of reading, Chris.
Okay, go ahead, the producer. Let's do it quickly, and then I have to sum up the show. Go ahead, Colin.
Quickly, Mr. Ray, I apologize. I forgot to ask Chris this question. Chris, I want to pull a Kalfani, man. I want to pull a brother Kalfani. I want to move to Africa, man. I want to ask, is there any way to get around it, taking any kind of job? Because I don't trust any kind of job nowadays. And where in Africa would you suggest someone to go if they have a unique trade that individuals there might be interested in learning?
Okay, let me respond to that and then summarize it quickly again about the event.
Certainly, I'll just put you in contact with my partner. You could get my contacts from the producers and we could speak about that more, but there are certainly opportunities. And we would like the Bahamas to know that Clifton Heritage Park is having their African Liberation Day event this coming Thursday, the 23rd of May. And for the first time ever, we're partnering with the Rastafari community. I'm extremely excited. It starts around 10. You will be inundated with tours, inundated with historical information, inundated with good idol food. Mr. Nari can get his carrot juice.
Free. Don't forget the food. Oh, there could be free. Come to get the food. It could be free.
Oh, yeah. And it's a good opportunity, as Clifton promotes, for us adults who have been deprived of this history to learn together, even with our children.
All the various African groups are invited to participate. Is there any number to call? Phone number to call?
You could call us at Clifton Heritage Park. I don't have the number handy. Apologies.
Call them at Clifton Heritage Park.
Email me at christopherdavis.clifton@gmail.com or Carla Rutherford, CARLARUTHERFORD.clifton@gmail.com.
Another contact is 815-8147 or 468-1738. Priest Diamond, Priest Rickman. And we want the Bahamas to advocate for Mr. Nuri to have at least a two-hour show. The 1 hour doesn't cut it for such a great show.
So much love to share. Pure blackness, oneness so rare. So much.